Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. Hope everybody is having a lovely holiday season. We are going to talk today, this is sort of a special podcast where I'm just going to be honest, we didn't tape this yesterday. We taped this a few days ago, just to be transparent. We like to do that. We all want to spend some time with our families over the holidays, but hopefully your travels are going well. So last week, Damian Lillard, on a free throw, I believe that he did it on, became the Blazers' all-time leading scorer, passing Clyde Drexler in Blazers lore, and became the third current active player who is playing for his team right now that he leads the team in scoring as well, including Steph Curry with the Warriors and Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Bucks. So, McMahon, you had this idea about taking a look at some of the other guys who could join Dame as the active leaders of whether of their teams and whether or not we think they actually will be able to do it for various
reasons. Yeah. And so this is kind of a multifaceted conversation. One, now there's several guys who are active today who are the all-time leading scorers of their former teams, but obviously part of the equation to become your team's all-time leading scorer is you're going to be with that team for a while. It's a longevity aspect. So when you're evaluating candidates to break their franchise's scoring record, you're evaluating also the situation with that player and that franchise. Is it going to be a long-term marriage? You know, what's the outlook on that, as well as just obviously their ability to fill it up, and depending on the franchise, some are much more challenging than others. Next on the list will be Bradley Beal. He is about a little less than 1,000 points shy of Elvin Hayes' all-time record in Washington there. That probably happens by the end of the season. Devin Booker, he's 3,600 shy of Walter Davis's all-time record in Phoenix. I think it's a pretty safe bet to say that one happens.
Yeah, considering he just signed a five-year extension, I think there's a good...
Right. It's, again, those two are matters of when and not if. Every other situation is a matter of if. And let's just run through a few of these. Let's start out in Minnesota. Kevin Garnett, the all-time scoring leader for the Timberwolves.
Not retired.
Sure, boy. That's a whole separate issue. New ownership, I like the odds of it happening. Okay. 19,201 points. Karl-Anthony Towns, 11,606 and holding as he's recovering from that calf strain. So,
just signed a five-year contract extension.
Yeah, so he's got about a little less than 7,600 points to go. There's no question, obviously, that Kat was going to score 7,600 points plus in the rest of his NBA career. Is he a Minnesota Timberwolf that much longer? Does he have four or five more years in a Timberwolves uniform?
This is a tough one, Bontemps.
The answer is no.
But okay. I'll be straight up. I think Tim Connelly needs to shop Karl-Anthony Towns this summer. I've said that before.
Wasn't there a rule about once you sign a supermax, how long can be since you've been, can you be traded?
I think can't be traded for a year.
Yeah. So that's why I say this summer. Okay. Right? Because he can't be traded this year.
Not able to be traded this year at all.
Yeah, it's not against it's against the rules.
Right. And I think that you're obviously all in on Gobert. Like, you're not going to be able to recoup the value that you gave up to get him. Anthony Edwards is the future of that franchise. I think Kat has value. Again, I called Leon Rose with the Knicks. You want your CAA star? We'll take that Donovan Mitchell package that you had on the table. I think Kat has value. I don't think the Timberwolves are going to be legitimate contenders with Kat on that roster. I would shop him this summer.
Obviously, they're not having a very good year. But last year, he was terrific playing alongside Anthony Edwards. They had the number one offense in the league the last few months. He was causing all kinds of problems for the opposition by stretching the floor. They just night after night after night put opposing teams in a bind with what he would be able to do offensively in stretching the floor. And that Anthony, you know, being able to attack the basket, and he's developed into a better outside shooter. I think that they're going to be reluctant to break that up. Now, it is a new president, and, you know, the Gobert thing changes things. I suspect that it's not going to work with Gobert and Towns. Not there's anything wrong with the two of them, but I suspect that that's not a good fit. I didn't like the trade from the start.
Right.
So thinking that he could go another 4 or 5 years, it's hard to say for sure, but I think they're going to err on the side of trying to keep this going before they go in another direction. I could be wrong.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to say that if I'm running the Wolves, I'd shop them this summer, but you're saying, hey, I don't think that happens, but I don't think it works out. And then, you know, at a certain point, you're going to get to, he's potentially trying to push for greener pastures.
Yeah. The reason I say no is I just don't see him. I mean, if he's what you said, 7,500 points behind.
Yeah. About 7,600.
That's three or four years.
He's really scoring a lot if it's three.
Right. That'd be 2,500 if he's 30 a game. So, yeah. So if you figure 20 points a game, it's about 1,600 points a year. That's about 5 years, 4.5 years to do it. I just don't see him being on this team in 4.5 years. So I think he's going to be out of there by then one way or the other, whether it's his choice or theirs.
All right. So we've all got a consensus. Doubtful. Okay. Let's go
questionable.
Okay, I'm going to say doubtful. Bontemps?
Yeah,
Bontemps says out.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
Okay.
Here's, I'm saying yes or no to these, so my answer is no.
Okay, let's go to another pretty talented seven-footer, referring to perennial MVP runner-up, Joel Embiid. First, do you guys know who is the Sixers' all-time leading scorer?
Been a lot of great Sixers, man.
I know the answer because I talked about it with McMahon the other day, and Brian will never get all this right. Answer.
Yeah. Hal Greer, which surprised me.
Oh, wow. Marshall.
Yeah, Hal Greer with 21,586 points. Embiid is over 12,000 behind, which, you know, obviously.
My God.
I know we don't like to hold injuries halfway against there. Guys. I know we don't like to hold injuries against guys, but it's hard to, you know, climb all-time scoring lists of, you know, when you're not playing games. Embiid's got a little over 9,200 points. So again, we're talking about 12,000 plus points.
Basically, is he going to finish his career with the Sixers?
And even then, I don't know, like, because he's not going to play 82 games in a season. I don't know if he scores over 21,500 points.
Yeah, it's a question of longevity as well as location, right?
I'm going to also say no on this one, too.
I'll say no, but only because of the longevity aspect of it.
You believe he spends the rest of his career in Philly?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no for a combination of longevity, and I just don't see it going all the way to the end.
Yeah, I just think if they don't win there at some point, he's going to push. Now
that's a lot. It's also a lot of points. I mean, even if he plays there, another 5 years after this one, he's not going to get there. And that's he's to his age 35 season at that point. I think, a combination. You put the combination of the number and the time frame together. He turns 29 during this season. So he plays another 5 years after that. You're talking about getting into his mid 30s. That's a long time. 21,000 points, a lot of points.
All right. We're all pessimistic on that one. Let's stick in the ridiculously talented 7 foot division with the perennial MVP, the guy who's positioned himself to make a run for a third straight, talking obviously about Nikola Jokic in Denver. The Nuggets' all-time leading scorer is? You guys should get this one.
Alex English.
There you go. That's Alex English. 21,645. Joker's a little bit over halfway there. He's surpassed the 11,000 point mark and is trending up. Now that, you know, with him, it's only been over the last few years that he has become this, you know, big time scorer. Before, you know, and obviously he's still the best passing big man of all time, but his aggressiveness offensively or aggressiveness as a scorer has really ticked up over the last few years. I like his odds. He's a durable guy, and I do like his odds of being in Denver for the long haul, potentially a Damian Lillard in Portland type of run where he is a guy who I could see being a one franchise dude.
He's also durable and puts up huge numbers. He will break this record.
Have you ever heard one discussion, one rumination, one what about that Jokic would ever consider leaving? I've never heard one person even bring it as what if scenario.
Well, the only reason I'm going to say yes is because I've seen Mavericks fans, him and Luka are buddies, Jokic to Dallas. It's like, I would be more concerned about perhaps that thing going the other way there. But
I don't think Luka's going to Denver.
Jokic, and like, you know, this after last season, he's asked, hey, what do you think of that Supermax extension? He's like, sure. Yeah.
I know. It was great.
Yeah.
Giannis never really, unless I'm forgetting something, Giannis never indicated anything but eternal love for Milwaukee. And, you know, they hadn't won the title yet, but everybody was lining up to say,
oh yeah,
we can get him. Even when he was the 2-time MVP and Giannis signed it, it was like, wow, what an amazing thing. And that basically that same time, Jokic just like, sure, send it over.
Yeah,
he was like, and less than zero stress.
And you know, Jokic he's still just early in his prime. I mean, this dude,
his prime could last 15 years.
Yeah, he's 27 years old. He's got at least 5 or 6 years of prime left. And man. I mean, this guy,
I could see him playing this way when he's 37. I mean, you know,
we spent too much time on this one. He's going to do it.
We're putting our bets down. Okay. Let's go to a much more challenging record from a franchise that's got much richer history. The Boston Celtics. Their all-time leading scorer is?
John Havlicek.
John Havlicek, I would say.
I was giving Brian a chance to guess it first.
26,395. Jason Tatum is 8,500 and change, so he's about a third of the way there. Obviously, you know, he's got a long way to go, a lot of history to make. I like his odds. I like his odds for a couple reasons. One, obviously, 24 years old, keeps getting better and better. The guy's, you know, putting up 31 per game this season. And then, you know, he's in a situation where, why can't the Boston Celtics be perennial contenders for the long haul with Jason Tatum as the centerpiece of that franchise?
I'm going to say no, not because I don't think I'm just saying yes or no to all these. And to me, it just, the odds are he's not going to do that, right? Like, John Havlicek is what, in the top 15 or 20 all time in scoring in the league, right? So, I mean, if Jason Tatum does finish his career with the Celtics, then yeah, I would say there's a decent chance that he'll break this record. But that, you know, if you're just putting odds one way or the other. Like, odds are there'll be an injury or he'll play somewhere else or something will happen to keep this from happening. But I mean, you know, certainly he's going to be a guy that, if he does stay there for the long term, which, like you said, everything lines up for him to potentially stay there for the long term. Yeah. John Havlicek is 21st all time in scoring in the league. Ironically, Paul Pierce is 2 points ahead of him all time, but Paul Pierce obviously spent the final couple of his years of his career playing somewhere else. And, you know, just behind him in this with the Celtics. So yeah,
the one basket Paul Pierce scored for the Clippers, put him over the top.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The one he hit at the Garden at the end of the game. So yeah, that's the only reason I would say no. It's not, I'm not predicting Tatum's going to leave or anything, but like, even if he plays a couple years of his career somewhere else, I mean, Paul Pierce is a great example. He was a durable, you know, Hall of Fame, first ballot, all time great scorer, and he still barely finished ahead of Havlicek. So a lot has to go right.
Right. And Jason Tatum can have a very long, fruitful, and satisfying Celtics career. And, you know, Paul Pierce, you know, I wouldn't say it was amicable, but when it ended, there, you know, they were helping.
It was
the Celtics.
Very amicable. Yeah. Like that, he was sad he left, but well, it wasn't like it was a fight.
Right. So I could see that also repeating. Okay, who's next?
All right, this is one I think we'll all say yes on. Ja Morant with the Memphis Grizzlies. Mike Conley holds the all-time record there. It's not that high for as far as all-time franchise scoring records go. It's 11,733. Ja Morant's at 4,600 and change. He is in year. Actually, has that extension even kicked in yet? Signed
first
a five
year. First
there you
year.
Go. There you yeah. go. Signed a 5-year deal, no player option. And no, like, I don't like, I see Ja in Memphis long term.
Where's so Big actually Country the
no, kicks I misspoke.
Extension kicks in next year.
Yeah,
right.
I misspoke. Yeah. Kicks
extension
in next
kicks
right.
in next year. So under contract for 6+ years. They've already put a contender.
Where's Mike
in place
Bibby on
there.
The list?
I mean, Conley broke Gasol's record. Mike Bibby's somewhere.
That one went right off.
What?
Mike Bibby refused to play in Vancouver, man. That was went right over your head.
Whatever. Whoosh. Hey, listen.
I asked for Big Country Reeves, and that no one even acknowledged I said it.
This is what we don't need to spend time on too. If Josh stays healthy and nothing crazy happens in Memphis, he's going to break this record.
All right.
Yeah. And because
even
he's
if he
be
goes
there
somewhere else, he's getting to 11,000.
Oh yeah, no crap. But I'm saying, why is he going somewhere else? They've got Jaren Jackson
well,
Jr.
Because
got
I can't because I can't predict the future 6 years from now.
Yeah, but again, this is a low enough number that unless he gets hurt or something crazy happens, he's going to play 4 or 5 more years there, and he'll break the record. So let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play, and boom. Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
Same draft class, similarly low number. The New Orleans Pelicans' all-time leading scorer is? Come on.
Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
11,059 points. That might be the lowest I don't want to speak. No, it's not. It's not. But that's one of the lower ones for a franchise. Zion's at 2,800 and change. Now, I think a year ago, we all would have bet no. We all wondered, hey, is, you know, Zion going to be there long term? We were wondering even like, is this going to be the first potential superstar who doesn't get that second contract? Not only did they get the second contract, but they got it basically pay as you go. But Zion, I mean, it is. It's like a football deal. It's an NFL contract.
It's got a lot of an incredible amount of negotiation went into all of the provisions in that contract. But ultimately, unless they waive him, he's getting the money, which.
Yes, that's right.
It would have to be pretty extreme. He would have to have, I would think, two more catastrophic injuries before they would think about that.
Yeah. And to Zion's credit, he worked his butt off this summer to address some of the biggest concerns, which obviously are weight, conditioning.
Well, like part of the reason is that he has a weight plus body mass clause in his contract.
Yeah.
That affects the guarantee. And I think he, you know, who knows if they're actually making him do it six times a year, but I think it's like once a month that they have to do it. And since he signed that contract, he has definitely been in better condition.
Yeah, I mean, hired a chef, hired his own personal strength coach. Like, the guy had a phenomenal summer. He looks like the superstar that we all knew he could be this year. He's certainly playing at that level. Does he have another 8,000 and change points in him in a Pelicans uniform?
I'm not sure he's the most likely guy on the team to break the record.
Right.
Oh, that's an interesting thought there. You're talking about Brandon Ingram. Well, let me look.
Brandon Ingram's like 1,700 points ahead of him, and I would say Ingram's going to have more points than Zion as a Pelican. So that would be my pick. If you're going to pick one of them.
How many points does Jose Alvarado have?
Stop. Brandon Ingram does have almost 4,500 points in a Pelicans uniform. So that's an interesting take. You're saying, maybe it's not Zion breaking Anthony.
So Brandon Ingram also signed a 5-year contract with no out. He is extension eligible after this year, I believe. So let's see what happens at that extension deadline before I answer that.
Not that I have any
reason to think that he isn't interested in staying there, but you know.
Right. Well, obviously, when you're thinking of who's the face of the Pelicans franchise, it is Zion.
Yes.
And if you're thinking like, hey, are they going to aggressively try to upgrade around him? Then when you're making trades, Ingram's the name that's already thrown into those trade machines.
That would be a very short list of guys I would trade Brandon Ingram for.
Yeah, but I would have done it for Kevin Durant this summer. I mean, it's that kind of player.
I would do it today.
Yeah, he's awfully good.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're thinking about making a run in the postseason. Durant's having an MVP level year, so. But I'd still think about it long and hard. I don't know. I really like Brandon Ingram. That's an interesting one.
All right, more? We got a few more. Let's stick with Kevin Durant. Now, I do believe
I didn't think you were going to notice this one. I had it locked and ready in case you didn't.
And so, Bon Timms, tell us who the Brooklyn Nets all-time leading scorer is.
Guy this is covered for his few years of my career. Brooke Lopez, Nets leading scorer. Wow.
Yeah, Brooke Lopez.
How many points does Dr. J have?
Just over 4 points. 7,104, and I think three or four seasons.
Okay.
And Buck and Williams is, was the leader.
Yeah. Like you said, 10,444. KD is 3,500 and counting. You know, we'll see if he stays healthy this year. I mean, he very well could be creeping up towards
If he plays out his contract in Brooklyn, he will break the record. It's really just a matter of, do you believe Kevin Durant will be traded or not?
Well, you're asking yes or no. You're the one pontificating yes or no.
I was just setting up the question.
I don't think it's that simple, just because I do think durability is going to be a concern. KD, fortunately, has stayed healthy this season, but obviously you're talking about a guy who's well into his 30s, who's got a major injury history, who, you know, this is the first year that he's been, and hopefully it continues, but the first year he's been able to stay healthy in a Nets uniform. But when he's out there, he's going to give you 30 plus, man.
He's already asked for a trade once.
I know.
So how can I possibly feel confident about four more years?
You can't, especially because who knows how the Kyrie situation plays out. I think he's there the rest of this season, but who knows how that plays out this summer.
I'm going to guess he breaks the record.
Okay. I'm going to wager no on this one. Wendy?
I'm going to say no because he's already asked for a trade once.
All right.
I think the way the first trade, Kobe
asked for a trade and ended up setting the record. So
I think the way the first trade request played out is indicative of how the rest of this may go. I don't think the interest is going to be necessarily there for what his talent level is. And, you know, I think they're, now that he's settled in and playing, I wouldn't say I'd put actual money on it, but if I'm going to go one way or the other, again, this is a matter of the numbers so low. If he stays healthy for 2 years, he's basically going to be at it. So,
well, 2 years, the man's not scoring 3,500 points a year.
Well, he's got 3,500 now.
He's averaging 30, not 45.
He's got 3,500 now through the first quarter, through third of this season. If he's relatively healthy the rest of the year, he's going to score another 1,000. So then he's at, you know, he's 6,000 points away. So I didn't say he'd break it in 2 years, but if he has 2 years where he scores over 20, you know, if he scores 24, 25 a game, he's within 1,500 of breaking the record at that point. That's all.
All right.
It's just a super low number.
It is a super low number, but I'm talking about an older guy, trade requests already.
I know.
All right, let's get to
cautious, yes.
This is going to require a much longer term view. The Oklahoma City Thunder, their all-time leading scorer is?
Russell Westbrook,
18,859 points. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 4,400 and change and counting and piling up quickly. I think they've probably figured out how to get that plantar fasciitis and, you know, similar issues under control there as they turn the page out of the tanking era into the more competitive era. Guys averaging over 30 a game this year. You know, he's a guy who you hear a lot of speculation about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander potentially on the trade block. You hear none of that coming from the Thunder because why the hell would you? He's 24 years old. He's in the first year of a five-year deal. There's no player option on that. Right. So, you know, this is a guy, he's going to score a ton of points in his career. I do think he'll end up scoring that many points over the course of his career. So this really comes down to, hey, do you think he can be in Oklahoma City long-term? And I kind of like the odds. And I like it because, one, you know, he knew what he was signing up for when he signed that contract, right? He basically, that was his, not pushing for a player option was a very strong vote of confidence from him. Bontemps, you're smirking here.
No, I wasn't smirking, honestly.
Okay.
I was not.
And I like Sam Presti's chances of putting together a, you know, contending caliber roster around him. Obviously, a lot of that is depending on Chet Holmgren getting healthy and being the player we think he can be. But he's got 1 million and six picks. You know, there's some interesting young talent on the roster. Maybe that talent's a fit. Maybe it's not, but it's at least going to have value. Fellers, what do you think?
I'm going to say no, and that's not a guaranteeing he's going to get traded or anything. But again, like Russ played in OKC 10 full seasons, and obviously was there a super long time. Mm-hmm. Shai would have to be there 11 years at least. to break this record, probably. You factor in games missed and stuff. I think it's less likely he's there in 7 years than he is, just based off the way the NBA is now. So again, this, it's more of a probabilities with the high number.
Right.
I'll say, you know, my guess, yes or no, is no, but he is a guy, to your point. If, you know, let's say they get Victor in 6 months, which is very possible. If they're locked and loaded for the next 6, 7, 8 years as a contending team, then there's no reason. This is like the Tatum one, right? Like, probability, maybe you lean no just based on where the NBA is, but he's certainly more than capable of getting it.
So that's the thing about the Thunder. Even though they're a small market, they, it's something that's about them and Sam Presti, they get major talent and it comes and it goes. Obviously, they've had guys through the draft. And then, you know, Paul George came and went. Chris Paul came and went.
Well, I don't know if I would say they came and went. I mean, they had Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant for their
Paul certainly came and went, but yes.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm saying, they have been a revolving is a little bit unfair.
Yeah, that's
there's
I,
been
that's all
a
I'm
lot
saying.
Of stars come and go in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, but Russ was there for the long haul. KD, I mean, dude,
he was there the first 9 years
of
his career.
A long time.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm just saying, ever since, if you look at the last 10 years, a ton of talent has come in, and a ton of talent has gone. There's been churn. There's been superstar, and I think we're getting to the point where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, you know, he hasn't done it in the postseason, so you can't quite say that, but he's got that kind of talent.
Oh yeah,
there's been some superstar churn in Oklahoma City. All of the situations are different. There's not one reason why it's happened. And look, they, you know, Paul George re-signed there. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander signed and
they turned Chris
signed
Paul
multiple extensions.
Right. They took Chris Paul from a non-asset to an asset. Kevin Durant left in free agency and Russell Westbrook, they traded after the Clippers came in and said, we'd like to give you everything imaginable plus Shai for Paul George.
And Sam Presti has routinely shown a willingness to do big deals. So because of all of that, I might speculate that there will be big player movement that happens in Oklahoma City again.
I would suggest he needs to do some big deals over the next few years to give Shai Gilgeous-Alexander a chance to compete for a championship.
Well, yeah, because he's got all the draft picks. So, you know, that's the
other thing. Let's see what happens over the next 6 months. They could easily end up
with Victor
Wembanyama.
We're not answering 6 months from today. We're answering today.
Well, yeah.
For no reason about Shai or Oklahoma City, I want to be 100% clear. Has nothing to do with Shai, nothing to do with Oklahoma City, and more to do with the nature of big name.
You're just copying my answer. Yeah.
I will say I lean towards no.
Okay.
There's
here we go.
5 area codes. Here we go.
I got a few more. The Hornets. Their all-time leading scorer is
Kemba.
Michael Jordan in practice.
Probably.
No,
Kemba
don't
Walker.
Insult Kemba.
12,009.
Kemba is a professional scorer.
Mavericks minimum salary spark plug Kemba Walker scored 12,009 points for the Hornets. Does LaMelo get there?
No, no chance.
I don't think so either.
No chance.
What if they get Wembanyama?
LaMelo is not playing. LaMelo ain't playing there long enough to break the record. I'm just saying that now.
Well, the other thing is, I don't.
LeVar said he won't play for the Lakers after how they treated Lonzo.
Well, okay, sure. Cool. There's a lot of other teams he could play for.
Yeah. The other thing is LaMelo does tend to miss.
He misses games.
A lot
he
of
doesn't
games.
Score a lot of points anyway. Not happening.
How many different high schools did he go to?
Several. Several.
I mean, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's.
And Lithuania in between.
The combination of his situation plus the combination of the way the Hornets operate, it'd be hard to vote a confidence on that.
I think he just went to one high school. So
no,
one of his best players.
He went to Chino Hills, then he went to the Spire Academy in Ohio, then he played in Lithuania.
Okay, you're right.
He played in LeVar's big ball.
Then he played in Australia.
It was called. Right. Then he played in Australia too.
Which I know it wasn't high school, but he was, you know, he's bouncing around.
True. I would say that the odds are probably stacked against the Hornets, although it being a relatively low number. Okay. Orlando Magic, all-time leading scorer.
Dwight Howard.
11,435.
Paolo is breaking this record, barring injury.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Who averages 20 a game for 7 years, he's going to break the record. So
I was going to say,
he's going to do it.
Hey, the way Paolo's going, he might break this thing by the time he finishes his rookie deal.
he's going to break the record. It's a low number. He'll get into his second deal. He's durable. In theory, he should be durable. He's a big physical guy. He scores a lot of points already. It's very hard to see this not happening, barring
what if they
crazy
get Wembanyama?
They'll be cooking.
Then Wembanyama is going to be the tallest shooting guard in NBA history.
Paolo, Franz Wagner, and Victor would be pretty fun.
Holy pretty Moses.
Paolo and Franz.
Be happier than our man, the laugh track, Nick Friedell, if that happened. That's for sure. He'll be moving back home to Orlando to cover that.
Yeah, no question. He will ditch that Kyrie Express.
He'll be so happy to move back to Orlando.
You know, I'll say this. I think one of the challenges that teams have in terms of building around prodigies is when they don't have like legit star talent already on the roster, like young developmental lottery talent that can develop into star. The fact they already had Franz Wagner when they drafted Paolo, like they've got
a great combo. Mm-hmm. A great combo.
They also get the Bulls draft pick.
It's not in the top four. Yeah, they're gonna get their own pick. They'll get lucky and get number one because the Magic always get lucky in the lottery, and then they'll get the Bulls pick at number five. So, and hey, man, bowl, baby, bowl is.
Can you imagine if they got Wembanyama? They would have bowl, Wembanyama, the Wagner brothers, Paolo. I mean, talk about size.
No, their starting lineup would be Wendell Carter Jr. Franz would be the shortest. Wendell Carter Jr., Bol Bol. They probably play Victor at the three, Paolo at the two, and Franz running point. They'd be like 6'9" and over. It'd be ridiculous.
Oh, man. All right. We have anybody else? That's a good one, McMahon.
We are going to wrap up with the one in my backyard. Dirk scored a lot of points, 31,560. Oof. Obviously, everyone in a Mavericks uniform. You know, there's not very many people who you would even consider a possibility of scoring that many points.
Luka ain't doing that.
But no Luka, you don't think he's scoring that many in his career? You don't think he's staying with the Mavericks?
The combination of we'll see if he scores that many of his career, and I cannot fathom a scenario where he plays 20 years in Dallas, just because that's not – I don't know if we're ever going to see – my guess is we're never going to see a player score play 20 years with one team in his career ever again. So, 20
is a long time.
You combine that with just how incredible a number that is for Dirk. I don't see Luka doing that. No.
I mean, 31,000 is an absolute monster number.
Yeah.
How many 30,000 point scorers have there been? Five, six?
I think eight. I'll look it up right now.
Yeah, look it up. I
have it right.
Dirk was number right six, here. And then he got bumped to seven.
Yeah, I think he's been passed by a couple guys since then.
Yeah.
I got it right here. Hold on.
And there's going to be a few more. There'll be
Dirk is sixth all time.
What?
There are eight guys who have scored 30,000 points. And here they are, by the way, just so people know this. Kareem, LeBron, Karl Malone, Kobe, MJ, Dirk, Wilt, and Julius Erving.
Oh, that's right. Dirk got bumped to seven, and then he passed Wilt in his last year.
So you're asking you're talking him to be about a top eight, 10 eight of the score. Greatest players of right. You're asking him to be one of the 20 best players of all time and only play for Dallas.
Well,
seems unlikely.
And so the first, I think, is actually reasonably likely. Like, I mean,
I don't know if I'm going to say it's reasonably likely. I think it's possible, which to your point, there's very few people you would say
that's
possible.
That's a high compliment to say it's possible you could be one of the.
Yes, that's all. I'm not disputing what you're saying, McMahon. I think it's a little hard to say anybody's reasonably going to finish one of the seven best scorers.
If you're going to make that bet, do it on a guy who is a three-time first team All-NBA selection by the age of 23.
No question.
Because when you're talking about those guys, you're talking about Kevin Durant, who's probably going to be a 30,000 plus point scorer. You're talking about Tim Duncan, who, you know, didn't score that kind of points, but obviously is one of the top 10 NBA.
I mean, look, Carmelo is a great example. Carmelo is as professional a scorer as we've ever seen, was durable, played a really, really long time. He has 28,000 points in his career.
Yeah. No, it's a huge number. Like, now, Luka, there's obviously durability is a concern, and, you know, especially as he ages, if he doesn't make a much stronger commitment to conditioning, to say the least. But the biggest thing here is, you know, the Mavericks have a lot of work to do if they plan on having Luka for a full generation for his whole career. And they know that.
Yeah. And I just think if you just look at it, like I said before, the odds of anybody playing that many seasons with one team in their career going forward is just, it's really small the way things are now. Like,
I mean, you know, look how much Dame has basically been a total bucking of the trend.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's gotten, the rules have changed as he's done it and enabled him to make enormous sums of money doing this. And not only that, but to guarantee himself huge sums of money deep into the future. You know, he has been, I don't know if he's benefited because he would have gotten the money anyway, but the Blazers, the Kevin Durant rules that were put in after he walked on the Thunder have contributed to Dame's ability to earn huge money there. And I don't know how much of a factor that is. Only he knows how much of a factor that is, but
And you look at guys like Russell Westbrook, who's played a billion games, scored a ton of points. He has 23,700 points. James Harden, 23,800 points. DeMar DeRozan, 21,000 points.
Dude, I know, but listen, it's Luka is a different talent than all those guys. Luka is averaging 32 points per game as a 23-year-old.
I understand. Luka's an incredible player. This isn't a knock on him. It's just like you have to have everything go right to score 30,000, including just not having any freak injuries and just playing a trillion games over the course of 15 years. Like, you know, like I said, there's eight guys have ever done.
After he plays 15 years, it'd be 34. Like he's going to play in the league for a long, long time. Durability is a question, but I'd bet on Luka scoring 30,000 points in his career. I would bet on that. I just don't know that it's all going to be in a Dallas uniform.
I think that's all. I think when you put together the amount of things that have to go right to get there and him doing it in Dallas, that's where it's hard. If you're just asking me to your point, up or down on Luka scoring 30,000, I would go up on it and think it's, you know, if things are probably going to break that way. But to think he's going to do it in a Dallas uniform is just, I think, it's asking for a lot to go right on a lot of fronts.
How many more points does Tyler Hero need to pass Dwayne Wade? Just kidding. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll be talking to you before the new year, I think. We'll talk to you later this week. Thank you to Jackson and Bruce, our producers. Enjoy the holiday season, and thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Adios, amigos.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.